Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. One final reminder that there is a giveaway currently going on. I have mentioned this on the last two episodes, and I will be repeating those details coming up during today's conversation as well, so that you can enter to win, and you will want and need to do so right away as the deadline comes up at the end of this week. Always feel free to get in touch with me. You can write to bruce@catholicsportsradio.net or even DM me through the @CathSportsRadio Instagram account, or send a private message through the Facebook page. There are links to those social media accounts and Twitter as well on the show website, catholicsportsradio.net, where you can also sign up for free for the new weekly e-newsletter. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. If an athlete models their game after someone else's, another player who either made their name previously or actually did play a little bit with the up-and-comer, there is a likelihood of success and of onlookers seeing the influence of that marquee player on this protege. Heck, right here in Tampa Bay, I'm sure that's likely going on with Tom Brady and a young player like quarterback Kyle Trask, who is waiting in the wings and learning from the future Hall of Famer. Similarly, in our faith life, we read in the New Testament that we too have the ability for others to see Jesus in us, because we are followers of His. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 29 says, "If you consider that He is righteous, you also know that everyone who acts in righteousness is begotten by Him." Or, as it says in the English Standard Version of the Bible, "If you know that He is righteous, you may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him." Friends, there are some truly amazing athletes who are at the top of their sport that up-and-comers can learn from for success on the ice, the court, the field, etc., and yes, some that demonstrate kindness and Christian values away from competition, but whether we are connected to sports or not, we all have the opportunity to let others see the presence of Christ within us because of the example He lived and taught for us. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is the Senior Associate Sports Communications Director at Louisiana State University, serving as the primary media contact for the men's basketball team and assisting in the overall sports communication office in other sports as needed. He is about to celebrate 34 years as a member of the LSU sports communication staff and has also written an award-winning bowling column for the Baton Rouge Advocate for more than 25 years. In 2018, he was inducted into the Louisiana State Bowling Association Hall of Fame for his service to the sport. Prior to working at LSU, he had served as the publicity director for Louisiana Downs Racetrack. He also is a past president of the Louisiana Sports Writers Association. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Kent Lowe.
Hello, Bruce. Thanks to you. Glad to be with you and your listeners today.
Absolutely, Kent. Thank you so much. I'm guessing by that intro that you must be a lifelong resident of Louisiana. Is that where you were born and raised? And also, what was your family size and what was the presence of the Catholic faith like in your household when you were a little boy?
Well, I was actually grew up and lived for many years in northwest Louisiana in Shreveport. It's probably the third or fourth biggest city in the state. And yes, my parents, all Catholic, always married in the Catholic Church. And of course, certainly I was very involved with the Catholic Church and at the what is now the cathedral. It wasn't when I was growing up in Shreveport, but certainly involved with the Catholic Church for all my life, really.
And brothers and sisters?
No, only child. I was born a little bit late in my parents' life and was the only child.
Okay. Before going off to college, all your education had been at Catholic schools?
Yeah, I went to St. John Berkman's, which was the church and or the parish and the grade school there. And then right next door was Jesuit High School. It's now, if people are familiar up there, it's Loyola High School now, but it was a Jesuit high school when I attended in the 70s.
Wow. Wow. So when and how did you first get into sports? And then also, which sports did you get into?
Well, bowling kind of was the one sport I could be halfway decent at. And I was probably 9 or 10 when I got into that. My father and I would go bowling sometimes, and I joined what's called leagues, youth leagues at that time, which is, you know, gone on for decades now. But at Jesuit, I became a basketball manager for the basketball team there and statistician, and then I assisted the basketball coach in shooting the coaches' films of the football games. And after my sophomore year, he left to take another job. So guess who was stuck as the one who knew how to do it? And so my last 2 years in school and at Jesuit, and then while I was going to college at LSU Shreveport, I was the coach's film photographer for the Jesuit football team. My one claim to fame in athletics on the campus of Jesuit High School.
Well, what was the tipping point where you saw that working in sports was going to be your calling? Because clearly, as we heard in the intro, you have given your professional career to being in service to different sports, plural.
Well, it was interesting to be a part of the athletic program at Jesuit, and also I should mention I kept stats for the baseball program, and a lot of those things, especially in baseball, you would call in the results to the local paper, either the Times or the Journal, which were the two papers in Shreveport. And so from there, I got to know members of the staff at those papers. And during the summer, I would cover like American Legion baseball and things like that for the paper, write little stories. And from then, you know, I saw that this was kind of interesting. And so I did more and more of that, especially as I moved into college and was covering all kinds of events, tennis tournaments, semi-pro football games, high school football games after I got out of high school, and enjoyed writing for the paper. And hopefully that began to lead to some things along the way.
Yeah, it does sound to me like the Lord had made a path for you that you continued to find opportunities along the way to pursue. And at the same time, you know...
Yeah, there's no doubt about that, Bruce. I mean, I have had some very fortunate breaks along the way.
Well, and I've said it on this show before that I really feel that the type of work that you have done, Kent, is really kind of emblematic of our Catholic faith in terms of being in service to others. You have not, and it's not a knock against athletes or coaches. Please don't anyone misunderstand me whatsoever, but athletes and coaches have the opportunity to be out front and in the limelight, and behind the scenes, you are being in service either to the athletes, as has been the case throughout your career working at LSU, or even when you're being a newspaper journalist, you're being in service to the readers who are counting on you to describe to them the games that they were not able to attend.
Well, that's exactly it. Newspapers, as you are probably aware, at that time in the late 70s when I was in college, were still a big deal to people. I mean, people walked out early in the morning to get their paper and read it over breakfast or their coffee, and you know, it was a very big deal, and the sports editors took that section very seriously, and I was part of a very good staff at times when I was working with them that cared a lot about their publication. I think that's taught me a lot about caring about the stories I tell to this day about not only the basketball program here, but many other sports and athletes and coaches.
No doubt. No doubt. I do also talk often on this show about how we worship God and God alone. We don't worship sport. You don't have to be a rabid college sports fan to be aware of the Tigers. LSU is so well known nationally. Kent, does it, however, get maybe a little too much on the fringes of idolatry, the way that some folks who are as passionate as they come tend to just bleed purple and gold? And if so, how can that be tempered, being that it is a business and you don't want to turn off the fans, the alumni, the sponsors, the supporters, but there is a larger life lesson at hand?
Well, that's a very interesting question. And I think, you know, it's funny, and I don't know, you know, to me, it can be an interesting thing. I think there are a lot of the most passionate LSU fans who go to my church here in Baton Rouge, you know, and it's, you know, you'll see them every Sunday there with their purple and gold, and that's perfectly fine. But I think you do have to realize that sometimes you have to realize these are just, I don't want to call them kids, but these are young people playing a sport they love. And, you know, you need to root for them all you can, but you don't need to criticize them. I mean, you need to support them in every way you can. And I think that's where that murky line is drawn sometimes, and that you just get so passionate about the team that you kind of lose the perspective a little bit of, you got to support these guys. You got to be there to root them on, but you can't knock them down just because they might have had a bad game or the team had a bad performance.
Wow. Wow. Very nicely said. Very nicely said. Folks, I said at the beginning of this episode that there is a giveaway currently going on. This started with the episode that came out 2 weeks ago, and it will be ending a few days from now. So please listen and get your entry in if you have not already. Back on episode 166 of this show, you heard Amy Brooks talk about the two books that she has put out, Be Yourself, A Journal for Catholic Girls, and then the follow-up, Be Yourself, A Journal for Catholic Boys. Look at them on Amazon or go to the show page for that episode, 166, Amy Brooks, at CatholicSportsRadio.net, and there's a link there to go to that specific page on Amazon. Anyhow, if you have a son or daughter, grandson or granddaughter, niece or nephew, or even next door neighbor, regardless of the connection, kids in the 9 to 14 age range, I am going to do a random drawing this Friday, July 15th, to give away one copy of each of those two books. To enter, just email bruce@catholicsportsradio.net and tell me if you're entering to win the boys' journal, the girls' journal, or both. Don't delay, though. I must receive your email by 11:59 p.m. Eastern Time this coming Thursday night, July 14th. I appreciate Amy Brooks making that gesture. Similarly, since Catholic Sports Radio is a ministry for me and I don't get any income from doing it, nor do I have any sponsors, I also ask for your consideration of a gesture in the form of a financial contribution. You've heard me on past episodes not only thank guests and listeners alike who have contributed to Catholic Sports Radio, but specific expenses that I'm faced with that I am challenged with otherwise having to try to find a way to cover out of my own pocket. Those add up fast, and as committed as I am to giving back with my time and talent to be in service to God and to my brothers and sisters in Christ in the audience, I do struggle to pay all those bills that are a part of operating this ministry on and off the air. I know that on the surface, this might look like it's just, say, a 30-minute show that comes out once a week, But behind the scenes, there's so much more that goes into it all, and I'm the only one here doing it. There's no staff, no volunteers, no interns. And probably each 30-minute interview has a total of around 5 to 6 hours of work that goes into each one, between booking the guest, doing all the back and forth with him or her leading up to it, recording the interview, doing all the post-production work, the editing, and then releasing and promoting each episode. And then on top of all that is other work above and beyond those tasks. All that being said, if you find value in all that I'm doing through this ministry, if you feel you're getting something out of the work that I'm doing through Catholic Sports Radio, if it's helping you in your faith life, if you believe in these efforts to impact people through the mix of faith and sports, I would kindly ask you to help me out. As part of your tithing, do please prayerfully consider a financial contribution. You can use the blue Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, or if you're not comfortable with electronic payments, just send me an email via Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and I will write you back with details on sending me a check through the mail. I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes, regardless of the amount, or as some have asked me to do, you can instead choose to remain anonymous. I am truly grateful to everyone who listens, and I appreciate whatever you can do to help me continue working to move more people closer to Christ through this ministry. Kent, LSU, of course, is not a Catholic school, but over your long career there, have you witnessed some moments, some gestures, maybe some common practices that might otherwise make someone say, wow, are you sure this isn't a Catholic university? And I'm thinking, by the way, about behaviors that you've observed by coaches or student athletes.
Right. Well, of course, Baton Rouge is heavily, and South Louisiana is a heavily Catholic area. I don't know if you could actually say Catholic per se as far as LSU or gestures I've seen, but it's always great when you see, you know, after football games, you always see, you know, five or six, and that may be an underestimation, but I mean, you'll always see a group of players, usually from both teams, kneeling at midfield after the game and just saying a quick prayer and those type of things. You know, the FCA is very big here in the athletic area, in the athletic department, and they meet every Tuesday night over in the meeting room at the football stadium. And I understand that's a very, very good group of people and very large group that meets every week. So, I mean, there are little things here and there you see along the way that, you know, shows you that there is a spiritual presence here at times. And, you know, it's tough in this business. I mean, I admit it, you know, they're coaches and athletes are all dedicated to what everybody wants, which is wins, you know, and sometimes that can be a little overwhelming and consuming, but there are those moments you see that kind of make you realize that there's more to it than just winning the game.
Yeah, the example that I'm thinking of is when you see, for in the example of your school, you see an LSU player, say a basketball player, that lends a hand to help someone get up that has fallen on the basketball court. And,
right,
you know, fans will say, don't help that guy up. He plays for the other team. But I think those are kind of those little things that when we look through a Christian lens, we see what a kind gesture that is. And there's no harm in helping someone up from the floor from the basketball court just because they're wearing a different uniform than you.
No, you're right. And just, I think, to last weekend here in Natchitoches, the Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame inductions, former softball pitcher Brittany Sneed Newman, who, you know, was who right now has been at Baylor for 19 years, assistant coach, but she was the all-time strikeout leader and probably the first great softball player LSU had, under Glenn Moore and then Yvette Girard. And she's been with Glenn for the last 19 years as an assistant coach at Baylor. And she is very, I don't know what the right terminology is, but she's very focused on not only athletics, but her spiritual life. She always would point to the heavens at the end of a game and that type of thing. And that team was very spiritual in many ways. They'd have Bible study and things like that.
Wow.
And it was completely voluntary, but a lot of players took part in it. And I'm sure some of that is continuing for her at Baylor.
Very nice. Very nice. And some housekeeping for those in the audience that don't know, when Kent referred to FCA, that's the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Kent, I love the years and years of service that you've given to the sport of bowling as a columnist. I was on the bowling team in high school, and that sport has always had a special place in my heart. And I know also that they have tried for years and years to become an Olympic sport. We see, of course, that at the professional level, football, baseball, hockey, and basketball command all the headlines in the U.S. So as a result, I can't help but look at your service to bowling through a Christian lens, meaning treating it as equal to those that I just mentioned. Am I right? Am I onto something here?
I think you are. One of the great things that's happened in Louisiana, and you mentioned your high school bowling. High school bowling has become an official sport, I guess, 15, 16 years ago. And it is very exciting. And there's about, the one great thing is about 4 weeks a year, from like middle of March to middle of April, bowling is covered by all the media because it's a prep sport, just like football and basketball and baseball. And it is a very exciting event when they get to the Final Four of high school bowling and the championships. I've had the pleasure to be on the crew that has streamed the championships the last few years, and it's very exciting. In fact, there is a school out of New Orleans that a lot of people may be familiar, Brother Martin, the Crusaders. Their boys team has won like four straight championships and six of the last seven.
Wow.
And if there ever was such a thing as a dynasty in high school bowling, they have created it. And they are very much, obviously, both spiritually and ability, very, very good. And it really left a good example for people as to how to conduct yourselves during a championship and that type of thing.
Very nice. Very nice. And that's really refreshing to hear where bowling has come to in high school in your area, as you described. And on a similar note, I mentioned in the intro that before starting at LSU, you were the publicity director for Louisiana Downs Racetrack. Sadly, I feel like the first thing people think of in that sport is betting. Were you able to bring out more human interest type stories when you had that job?
Well, that's certainly a part of it. As we talked about earlier, that's one of those jobs I just kind of fell into. A guy I bowl with happened to be one of the writers there, and they were looking for some more PR staff, and that's how I happened to fall into something like that. I was there for 6 years, and at a time when racing in Louisiana Downs was huge because there was no Texas racing at the time. There were no casinos. So, we draw 17,000-18,000 on a Saturday, and probably 60% of the cars were from Texas.
Because,
it's not like today where it's kind of a television sport. But in answer to your question, one, yes, stories about not only horses, but trainers and people who work with horses, I think are a very important part of the sport. And the other thing that was also fascinating, because you learned a lot about the stories of people, was the racetrack chaplaincy program at Louisiana Downs at that time was outstanding. And old age doesn't permit me to remember the chaplain's name, but he was very good at giving us ideas and stories, and we were able to meet people and to hear their stories and to be able to tell their stories about their life, what they've gone through in life and how now they may be part of a very successful racing organization was very fascinating, to be honest.
Yeah, wow.
And the track also made sure that on Saturdays there was a Catholic Mass before the races started for those who wanted to attend. So, you know, there were a lot of different factors going on at that time.
Wow, fascinating. Kent, whether from LSU or bowling or even the racetrack, do you have a story from your long career in sports that maybe is closest to your heart, something that was most special to you that you can share with us, as well as why it stands out for you the most?
Well, I think, you know, I've had the privilege to work with a lot of wonderful athletes. You know, Shaquille O'Neal certainly stands out as one of the best, but, you know, it's always been fun to watch him and his time here. And he came back and got his diploma from LSU, which I think would surprise people, but he promised his dad and mom he would. And he went through graduation just like any other student, although we kind of had to do a few things, such as hiding in our media room for a while because of all the people. I'm standing outside the media room before the ceremony begins, and he's in there with his entourage, which he had by that time, and this long arm comes out of the door and kind of waves me into the room, you know. It's like, hey, hi, Raymond, to beat all the entourage and all that. But he's always been good. He always comes when he's in town, comes by and says hi, and you know, those type of things. And that's what's pretty cool about this business. You know, there's the wins are fun, the losses are tough, but there's the people are some of those, you know, who you remember. Everybody knows Skylar Mays, who played here, who plays for the Atlanta Hawks. Now, I mean, Skylar won the top award from the SEC and from CASADA as the Academic Basketball Player of the Year, and was a tremendous student besides all the basketball, which I still to this day don't know exactly sometimes how they balance all that, because they're just so many hours, you know, that you got to worry about practice and travel and games, and you still got to get 12 or 15 hours of classes taken care of. And it's amazing to me, the those that do it successfully, how they're able to time balance it and make it all work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'd like to close by having you share with the audience not only the parish that you're a member of, but the service that you give to that church, including having done so during the pandemic.
Sure. It's St. Jude the Apostle. Father Trey Nelson is the pastor. He's a wonderful man. He's a big LSU sports fan, which doesn't seem surprising here in Baton Rouge. But I'm a lector there, have been for years, love doing it. I feel it's something I'm good at. And yeah, during the pandemic for like 7 or 8, I think it was 8 weeks, it was me, a lady named Bonnell Borland, Father Trey and Deacon James. We were the only ones in the church, and we did the televised mass. You know, it's really weird doing the Passion on Palm Sunday and the Easter Sunday readings, and there's nobody out in the pews. I mean, it took a while to get used to that. You know, it was kind of funny because the first week Father Trey called Benel and I and said, can y'all do Sunday mass? And we're like, sure, no problem, we'll be there, we're all set. Then on Friday, yes, call back, Bishop Duca just wants the priest and the deacon, he doesn't want any readers. Well, the next Sunday was Palm Sunday, obviously. Well, with the Passion, you kind of need a couple of breeders. So yeah. At that point, the bishop changed his mind, and then we came in. We did, like I say, we did 8 weeks in an empty church, and then probably the first 2 or 3 weeks, I guess, once they started allowing a few people in. I mean, it was a little strange for almost till the end of 2020, because I look back some reason on my YouTube, the Christmas Eve Mass came up that I've read at for a long, long time, and to see like 150, 200 people in there instead of, you know, 1,000, and they're standing all over the place.
Yeah.
Was so different, and I had forgotten that, you know, and so, but it's something I do believe I do well. I hope I deliver the readings in a way. One, I always have people tell me, we can hear you when you read, you know, which I take as a compliment, because some sound systems are better than others. So, you know, when people say, I like when you read because we can hear you, I appreciate that, and I hope I'm reading the message in a way that people understand and people get the point of what I'm reading. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Folks, just a housekeeping note, by the way, Kent did such a great job talking about Shaquille O'Neal and the way that he is off the court. If you never heard my interview with Reggie Adubato, that was May of last year. Specifically, it came out on May 31st, 2021. Go on CatholicSportsRadio.net or wherever you listen to this show. It was episode 122. Richie coached in the NBA, and he coached in the WNBA, but he talked about Shaquille O'Neal when the two of them were with the Orlando Magic. And again, just like you just heard Kent do, Richie did a nice job of talking about what a great person Shaquille O'Neal is. So I encourage you to go back and listen to that. Kent, in the meantime, thank you so much for coming on Catholic Sports Radio. I really enjoyed the conversation. God bless you with all that you're doing.
My pleasure. Thank you, Bruce.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And folks, let's close this week's episode with our sportsman's prayer. And certainly we begin it, as always, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.